Hallelujah. See, we were encouraging and explaining that oftentimes it's in our worship that God does something. Right? That it doesn't always require someone to lay hands on you or to be called out. Like a few weeks ago, we were calling people out and just ministering. It doesn't always require that. It's awesome. It's great. But there are times where God will just meet you where you are if you're obedient and you'll hear his voice. And isn't it awesome when he does? Amen. That's just one example. There have been others throughout the years, but I'm grateful and thankful for it, that when he hears that, when we hear him and we obey, that he responds accordingly and ministers to us and touches and will heal us and do the things that we often may think are impossible. Amen. He'll do extraordinary things. You do still believe that that's the God that we serve, I hope. That he's a miracle-working God. So often we get so accustomed to living with our mess so long, we just get used to it. Hello. We get so used to just living with our mess. We've just accepted it as normal. You've lived so long without, you just think it's the way to live. We might just be taking a turn. I said, you've lived so long without, you've just accepted that that's the way that it is. That we'll live so long in pain that we've just accepted that that's the way that it is. We live so long broken that we just think it's the way that it is. You know what the church has become? Like don't pretend like you all don't know the what is it, Rudolph or whatever. Trust me, I'll make it spiritual. The Island of Misfit Toys. And there ain't nothing wrong with being messed up. I'm a screwed up being. If you're looking for somebody perfect, you're at the wrong church. But the church has become such a place where we've identified ourselves as that. That's your label. You know, in our society, we want to put a label on everything. And we do it in the church too. And so our churches have become like that island. And the Savior, that we're celebrating his birth today and this week, and all that has come to redeem you and I from ourselves, to rescue us from our brokenness and our pain, all the things that are going wrong, he comes to rescue you and I from the things that we've accepted as normal. And yet I hear the Lord saying this morning, he just wants to shatter the norm. Do you hear me? That he wants to shatter the norm. I'm fixing to can this message in about 2 seconds, so y'all better get with it. The Southern boy in me is coming out. Fixing. I never say that word. And so he says, I'm here to shatter your norm. What is your norm? What is your normal? Last week we said, here comes Jesus. And when I opened the service with that and then preached that word, you could just feel it was as if his presence came and sat in the room. And so he comes to do something, to accomplish something. Thank you, Jesus. He's showing up to shatter what you think is normal. Do not accept your life the way it looks right now as normal. Stop accepting the way that our nation looks right now as normal. Any of us with a brain and eyes that watch the news see something that is not normal, but we've embraced it as normal. I wonder how many of you would just start rebuking everything in your life that doesn't look like what His Word promised you. Rebuke COVID. Rebuke the divisions. Rebuke everything that divides us. Rebuke every health problem and every money problem. Rebuke everything that doesn't look like what He promised. And dare say, Lord, come shatter my normal. You've been asking God to bring increase, but you're too afraid to leave that same old job. Step out on faith. But you've been praying for increase, but often the increase comes after you step out. The word that the Lord had given me for today was fear not. Fear not. That's what the angel said to Joseph in a dream. Fear not. Sometimes we're not getting all that we need to get from Him because there's too much fear. What if? What if He doesn't do it? You know how many people statistically in church don't step out to get prayer for healing because what if He doesn't do it? How many times we don't move and obey God because what if? But the word of the Lord was clear to Joseph. I'm not even going to take the time because we're going to go somewhere in a moment. The text that I wanted to use for today was out of the book of Matthew this week, but my God. I just want to dare you right now, if you would, close your eyes and just open your hands right where you are. They can lay on your lap. Say, Father, come shatter my normal. My God, you don't even know what you just said. Come shatter my normal. Have you ever noticed that often when God gives a gift to you and I, we don't feel gifted at all? If you've ever received something from God, then you can identify with what I'm saying. That if you ever notice that when God sends you a gift, you don't feel gifted at all. Instead, I've often found that when God sends a gift, it'll often leave me a little bit in chaos, confusion, disarray for a moment, for a while. Mm-hmm. For a little bit. And most of the things that God gives us or is doing in our lives, have you ever noticed that we'll find joy in what God's doing when we look back on it? Not in the moment. you know, when God comes in and starts stirring some stuff up, that's when we get up and we'll give a testimony later about how God did something in our family or healed us or delivered us from something. But in the process of it, I mean, even this week, all that we're celebrating and celebrating the birth, we can read in Matthew or Luke or wherever we choose to read of the Christmas story. And yet when they were enduring it, Mary and Joseph, there was nothing to really have joy about in the moment. But we sure have joy looking back in retrospect. That's like our lives. There are some things that you used to cry over that now you find joy in. Oh, come on, don't pretend like none of y'all have ever been divorced. You cried when they walked out. Now you're just like, ha, ha. You thought you would never survive it, but guess what? You did, and now you find joy, and you're like, I'm glad that he or she is someone else's problem. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just preaching truth. And so it's, you found joy in it in retrospect. Oh my God, I just gave you more than you needed to even get this morning. Some of you are walking through life and you're not enjoying the moment. My God. There is beauty and favor and the awesomenesses of God all around. I said last Sunday, I think it was, when I talked a little bit about praise to help you understand, I said, you will understand my praise when you understand my problem. So until you have God intervene in your life, you're not going to understand why I snot and cry and ball around in praise and worship. But when he shows up for you, you might figure that out. Sometimes we're emotional in our worship because we're going through it, and it's my desperation, my deep calling out to deep saying, God. But I'll find joy in retrospect. When I get out on the other side, when you come out on the other side of health problems, a year ago, Cynthia, she was in serious shape. There wasn't much joy in the moment, I'm sure. But she can look back in it, on it in retrospect. There's all kinds of things like that in my life that I can look back on in retrospect and realize I can find joy in it. But oftentimes when God gives you a gift, I've found that it often worries you and I before it blesses us. It'll often worry you before it blesses us. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says about Christmas story that specifically in the writing of Matthew, that Joseph was not trying to get close to Mary. In fact, it was on the contrary. He wasn't trying to get closer as she was pregnant. Instead, he was trying to figure out how to get out of it. Mm-hmm. I know none of you ever tried to figure out how to get out of something. The Lord said this to me, to tell you not to allow the conditions of your life distract you from the meaning of your life. Do not allow the conditions of your life to distract you from the meaning of your life. That's what we were just talking about. when our life doesn't look like the promises, the provision, the things that he said. Don't allow it to distract you. My God. Help us, Lord. This is different today than I had planned. Because I'm going to give an altar call in just a few moments. But I'm going to base this off of where we are at right now. I want to change this just a little. And when we think about Joseph and the Christmas story, I said earlier that the Lord said, fear not. When I read the story out of Matthew, I see there are three kinds of fear that he was experiencing. The first one was one that so many of you and I deal with, and it's the fear of perception. In other words, what will people think? Most of us are the way we are, or don't change something, or are intimidated to step out of our comfort zone because we're worried about what people think. And some of you are just blessed and anointed and you don't care too much. I've learned something, though, about when we have a fear of perception. You need to understand something, that oftentimes we are hated or disliked because of the gifts that God gives us. And you wouldn't have so many people hating you if you weren't gifted. You wouldn't have so many people dislike you or talk about you if you weren't so gifted. Sometimes I feel like, personally, I'm on the hit list of hell. But the only reason that you and I may feel that way is because we're gifted. It's because of what we possess that the enemy wants. And you and I cannot allow the fear to rob you and I of what God has for you and I because of what people might think. We need to shake off every fear of perception. I learned a long time ago, don't try to manage other people's opinions of us. Because what people think about us is none of our business. So stop trying to manage what they think. They're going to think what they think no matter what. That was a fear Joseph was dealing with because he knew everybody had thought something else. Mm-hmm. I don't need to break it down too much for y'all, do I? He knew everybody was giving him the side eye. Say, uh-huh. Sure. Mm-hmm. The fear of perception, worrying about what people will think. There's a lot I could say about that. There's another fear, of the fear of provision. I know one thing about the text is that it's not that Moses or that Joseph was broke. In fact, no, he had a dowry. He had enough money to get a hotel room on hotels.com. It's just when they got there was no room. You know, and you don't go seeking out a hotel unless you have money. But how many know there are some things that money cannot buy? There are some things that you and I need that money cannot buy. There are answers that we often need them. You can have all the money in the world and it still won't help you. comes down to the fear of provision. There are some things that only God can give me that money can't. The fear of provision. The fear that when one door shuts, that we'll trust that another door will open. That kind of fear. How many know that oftentimes we'll panic in our lives whenever one area, one part of our life, a door shuts. And we start thinking, what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do now? I don't know what to do when they fire me from a job, when somebody walks out of our life, when some major thing closes and it seems like it ends. We're back like we don't know what to do. But yet what God is always faithful in doing is that when man shuts a door, God will always open a door. Always open a door. That's what he does. You know, and I believe I hear the Lord speaking this morning about the brand new year. How many of you are going to believe God for open doors? That everything that's been shut up, everything that seems like it's been closed off or sealed or forgotten about or kept from you, that he's the God of open doors. You know, we need to just sometimes take moments and thank God for every open door, every door that even man shut, every door that man shut that only God could open to bring forth what needs to be brought forth in our life. I believe that God will open doors for you and I. And that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in fear of man shutting what God has opened. Listen to me, when man shuts a door in your life, when they leave you, when they fire you, when they disappoint you, when they've given up on you, somebody in here, somebody has given up on you a time or two. But you just need to accept the fact that, hey, they may have given up you, but God will open a door. Stop trying to force something that does not fit and let God do it. We so many times we're just trying to help God out. And God says, stop it. Let me do it. Trying to get your hands on things God's already said. In the book of Revelation, the word of the Lord says, I have set before you. You need to receive this because it's for now. It says in his word, I have set before you an open door. Now, I like to be a student of the word. And when his word declares, I have set before you, that word set, you know what he's really saying? He is saying in his word, that word set means it's firm. It's anchored. It's concrete. It's unbreakable. It's irreversible. It's immovable. So when God says, I have set before you an open door, he's saying, I have put some things in front of you that are like concrete. They are immovable. They are unbreakable. Nobody can move it out of the way. It is set before you. Somebody needs to receive what he is saying. In the coming year, he says, I have set before you an open door. There are some things that God has set before you and I that is only for you. It is unbreakable. It is immovable. Hallelujah. It is solid. It is anchored. It is fastened for you and only you. My God. He has set before you an open door. So I'm not going to fear what people think. I'm not going to operate in fear of provision that what if it's not there? What if God doesn't? Because his word says that he has set it before me. And I learned a long time ago, wherever God guides, he always provides. So it'll never scare me to believe God for something, because when he guides, he always provides. Stop allowing your health and your checkbook and everything else dictating you and your happiness. Some of you go into a seasonal depression when it comes tax time because you look at how little or how much you had to pay. Wherever God guides, he always provides. And he has set before you an open door. He set before you an open door. The third fear, that Joseph endured was the fear of providence or the fear of guidance. In other words, will you really go with me? Are you really going to meet me there when I go? Uh-huh. That's why I said earlier, Christmas looks better to us in retrospect than it really was in reality for them. It wasn't good in the moment. But when you and I look back on it, how many have ever had those moments where there were things that you endured in this life and it wasn't good in the moment, but you're able to look back on it? You're like, man, thank God he brought me through. I didn't see him when I was going through it, but I know that he brought me through because I would not be here today had he not have brought me through. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for his strength. I thank him that when I didn't have the ability to lift my head off the pillow, that he somehow carried me through. I'm thankful that when I was going down all the wrong directions in life, that when everyone else had given up on me, it must have been only God that helped re-guide me and bring me back to where I needed to be. Amen. And so I'm able to look back on my life in retrospect and give him thanks. That's why Paul said it was good for me that I was afflicted. Had I not been fired, had I not been abandoned, had I not been hurt, had they not have made fun of me, right? Had they not have disappointed me, had I not been down that road, I wouldn't be right where I am right now. I want you to consider something. God's wondrous provision. His wondrous provision often takes you and I away from normal places. God's provision took them away from a normal place as they traveled into Bethlehem. Took them to a barn. God's provision will often take you away from normal places. Because God, where God wants to bless you, maybe sort of outside of the box, outside of the system. So don't be afraid when God sort of bypasses the normal in your life. Remember I said earlier, he wants to shatter the norm. Don't be afraid when God starts bypassing the normal in your life. What do I mean? Text somebody this week and I think they responded, God is up to something. Anytime that God takes a holy thing and puts it in a mundane thing, God's up to something. That's what the Christmas story is. He took a holy thing and put it in a mundane thing. It meant God was up to something, right? Anytime that God promises you a blessing and you and I see ourselves going down lower and lower and lower, God is up to something. Anytime that God will take you and I sort of outside the system or start doing things that are outside the box, God is up to something. So you and I have to stop being afraid of change. And we've got to begin to let go and let God move and change whatever needs to be changed in us. When the angel began to speak to Joseph in his dream, and that's what it was a dream. He said, fear not. In other words, calm down. Watch this. This is important for somebody. He said, I need you to calm down. Why? The angel said those two words to him, fear not, or calm down. The angel was saying, you're so troubled that you're worried in your sleep. Anybody have sleepless nights, toss and turn? You wake up after you slept and you still feel like you could go back to bed? Fear not. Come on, our whole society right now is running on this. My watch alerts me if I don't get enough sleep. Lets me know. It tells me how much deep sleep I had, how many hours I slept, that I need to take a nap throughout the day. I'm like, you shut up. In other words, my watch is letting me know I've got too many things on my mind. My watch will tell me that my stress level's too high. It'll tell me to go into deep breathing. Calm down. Like the angel said to Joseph, if Joseph had been, he would have worn his smartwatch too. It wouldn't have needed an angel. The Lord said it could have just spoke to the watch and said, breathe. Angel said, I need you to calm down. You're so troubled that you're worried in your sleep. Watch this. In other words, the angel was saying, I had to speak to you in your dreams. Because when you're awake, you're so worried that you're not listening to me. Sometimes we are so worried and consumed by what is going on around us that we're not hearing God even if He's speaking. So what happened? God invaded the only space that was left available for Him to be able to speak. It was His dreams. My God. In other words, when you and I finally give up our thoughts, we'll have the ability to hear His thoughts. Oh my. That's real good. When you finally give up the ability to hear your thoughts, you'll be able to hear His. We don't need to be interested in our thoughts and our opinions about things. We need to know His thoughts. Hello, we need His thoughts above all else. So when you finally give up on your thoughts so that you can have the ability to hear His, you'll get somewhere. Watch this. God spoke to Joseph. God spoke to Joseph in the night because he was not listening in the light. Fear not, Joseph. God will speak to you in the night because you don't have the capacity to listen to Him in the light. So you're tossing and you're turning. And maybe God's trying to speak to you and tell you something that even still you're not hearing. That He brought you here today saying, hey, stop worrying. Do not fear. Stop fretting over what you cannot fix. Fear not. You are stressing out in the light, so I'm trying to speak to you in the night. Some of us have been going through a night season. Well, you know, where it just seems dark and things are closing in around on you, like you can't see where your future is. We don't know if we're going to be married or divorced in a year. We don't know if we're ever going to have a kid. We don't know what the outcome is. We don't know if our health is going to hold out. We don't know if the cancer is going to come back. We don't know if we're going to have to declare bankruptcy. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. And we've been in a dark season. Maybe if you'd begin to listen to His thoughts. The weeping that may be enduring for a night. Joy can truly come in the morning if you'll listen to His thoughts and not yours. Bible says His thoughts higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. My God. Stop worrying how things are going to turn out. Why do I say that? The reason the angel said to Joseph, fear not, in other words, the angel was saying, don't fear over the fear of perception, over the fear of provision, over any of these things, because you don't need to fear, because if you didn't start it, you don't have to finish it. Joseph was looking at Mary sort of side-eyed too. trying to figure out how to get out of it. And the angel was trying to prepare him and say, fear not, don't worry about what is ahead. In a lot of ways, you would think that Joseph would have been celebrating that God chose the same woman he chose. I mean, think about that. Of all the women in the world, Joseph could have looked at it and been celebrating that I must have picked the most virtuous woman there was, because God chose her too. But that wasn't his attitude. He was sort of like, I got to get out of this. I'm fouling for to get a separation in this matter. She is not faithful and she is not virtuous. He's thinking all of these things, taking every effort to make it happen. But the angel prepared him and said, do not fear, fear not. Why? Because God was saying, hey, for a lesson for you and I, that if God starts it, he will finish it. In other words, if he didn't start it in your life, if you didn't start it in your life, then you don't have to finish it. There are some things that we are worrying about and stressing out about how it's going to turn out. But if you didn't start it, you don't have to finish it. Hello? Meaning if God started it, he will finish it. Stop stressing and worrying and being in fear and losing your joy and losing your peace over something that you didn't start, that he did. Let him finish the job. My God, thank you, Jesus. He's going to finish the job in our lives. Whatever he starts, he always finishes. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There's one more point. Something I want to consider in my mind right now. When you read the account of Mary and Joseph out of the Matthew, it says that Joseph walked with Mary for 9 months. He didn't touch her. He didn't consummate the marriage. Why? I mean, why? Y'all know I always have something like this. I mean, it would have done no harm. I was asking the Lord. I said, God, what is it about this? Why is it included, especially in Matthew's account here of this, why is it included that he did not touch her? And that's exactly what I said. Lord, it would do no harm. And that's when he spoke. He said, that's the problem with my people. That's the problem that you and I often have. Is that we always want to touch something while God is still working on it. And what God is trying to say is he wants you and I that when he's got his hands on something, and when he's got, how many of you know what I'm saying is true? That we'll see God start working on somebody and doing something in somebody's life. And then you always get, you know, the cops of the popo of the church that come up and say, you know, you accepted Jesus. You really shouldn't do that. You know, you're supposed to be a new creature in Christ. And we're always trying to put our hands on something that God is still working on. And before you know it, we'll lose them. Or before you know it, before God really gets to complete what he started. Because remember, I said a few moments ago that whatever he starts, he will finish. Before God ever gets it finished, we'll do our number on it. We start manipulating the circumstance. I know nobody in here has ever tried to manipulate the hand of God in anything. So the reason that Joseph never touched Mary is because he understood. I'm going to prove it to you in the Word. I'll always back it up with two or three examples. Because Joseph understood, I can't touch her because God's still working on her. And how many times do we start touching things that are going on in our marriage and God's still working on it? God's still trying to heal some stuff in our families, and yet we're trying to manipulate it.
God's still trying to work on your child, and yet we're trying to still get our hands in there and touch it and mess it up. And then when it gets all screwed up, then we'll pray and say, God, I need your help. He said, you had my help till you messed it up. There's some examples in the Word where how many of you remember Uzzah? The Bible says that as they were carrying in the Ark of the Covenant, he reached out and touched it, and he died. Don't touch what I'm working on. When Jesus had was crucified and rose from the dead, and he appeared to Mary, and Jesus, she reached out to touch him. He said, don't touch me, for I've not ascended to the Father. In other words, don't touch me. I'm not finished. Some of us need to be able to say that, because some of us in this room, God has promised you things and you've been on sort of a trajectory of God's been taking you up, and what you really need to say is, don't touch me. He's not finished yet. There's some things and some people trying to touch you before the right season. You need to be aware. Say, don't touch me. Jesus said, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to the Father. These last several weeks, I've been giving you these phrases. Tell your house, your checkbook, whatever, it's lying on you, right? Here comes Jesus. There's one more. Touch me not. Touch me not. Tell everything that is trying to crowd out and manipulate the hand of God in your life, touch me not. To everything that is lying against me, trying to make me look bad, deplete my strength, and fill me full of anxiety and worry and fear, touch me not. To every person that was meant to be a blessing, but really they brought nothing but confusion, touch me not. Touch me not, my God. Because he's still working on me. Don't let people put their opinions on you. Don't let people put their expectations on you and to manipulate you. Because he's still working on you. Don't let them dilute or pollute what God is doing in your life. Don't let them do that. Fear not. I want to give an altar call. I didn't really get to preach today. I'm just sharing with you my thoughts. I want to give an altar call in a moment. And pray for you. And believe God for supernatural things. For him to give you strength or joy or peace in an area. For every person that would let God shatter their normal. And for every person who's been gripped with fear, concerned about what the future might hold. Remember when I started this morning, I said sometimes we get gifted from God and we don't feel gifted at all. I want to share this true story with you. And then I'm going to ask that we respond so we can pray for you. There was a young man
who his mother died at a young age. His father raised him, and his father was very wealthy, a very wealthy businessman. But over the years of them growing up, the son's relationship with the father became strained. Some of you might understand that. And as he got older, became a teenager, and he got ready to go off to college, it even became even more strained, and they didn't talk very much while he was away at college, and his dad was always busy with work and building his businesses and just becoming more and more wealthy. And yet as the young man got a little older and he approached time to graduate from college, he had this desire in his heart that he would strengthen the relationship with his father. So he started reaching out to his father, and they built their relationship a little bit. And one day his dad and him were out to lunch, and they were going somewhere, and his son looked at his dad and said, "That's what I want for my graduation gift." And it was a brand new convertible. His graduation came, and they went home and to his dad's big mansion, and he said, "Son, come in here. I want to give you your graduation gift." And the dad slid a box across the desk towards his son, and his son, in frustration, said, "I don't want that. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not what I want." He says, "Isn't it just like you to always disappoint me and let me down and never give me anything in life that I've ever really wanted or needed from you?" And his son walked out the door that day. That young man ended up getting married and having his first child and never invited his dad, and he had the second child and still never called his dad or sent a photo. He had his third child, and finally, he had gotten older and a little wiser, and finally he started getting this desire in his heart. "I just want my daddy." So he picked up the phone and reached out to his dad, and he said, "Hey, your grandpa three times over." His dad said, "Man, son, I would love to meet my grandchildren, and I would love to see you. Why don't you come home?" So the young man got plane tickets and flew his wife and his three kids across the country. But while they were in flight, the father was not feeling well, had a massive heart attack, and died. This is true. When they got there, one of his father's staff said, "I'm sorry, your dad's not here." He said, "What do you mean he's not here?" He said, "Your dad hadn't been feeling good the last few days, but he had a heart attack this morning and he died." Devastated. Because he just wanted to see him one more time. Member of his dad's staff took him in, and they were roaming around the house, and he went into his dad's office. He ended up sitting down in his dad's office chair. He sat down and he looked across, and on the opposite wall was a large bookshelf, and he saw a small package. And he recognized the wrapping paper from years earlier. He went over and pulled that package off the shelf, brought it over and sat it on the desk. And he began to open that package, and in that package was a Bible. And he noticed the marker was in the Bible.
And his dad had underlined Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. And he read it, and it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And about that time, something fell out of the Bible and onto his lap. He looked down on his lap, and it was a key. And that boy recognized that key. And so he grabbed the key and he walked out to this large garage where there was 20-some cars. And he saw a car clear in the corner, covered with a cover over it, all kind of dust. He went over and pulled the cover off, took the key, unlocked the door. And there, all those years ago, his dad did buy him the gift that he wanted. The son just rejected it because it didn't look like what he thought. Some of you in this room right now are rejecting the gift that God gave you because it didn't come how you thought. It's just wrapped up differently. But I'll promise you, if you believe in who he is, how much more will your Father in heaven give you? How much more? It may not come how you wanted it. It may not come into your life how you thought. You might be wondering why all the things in your life that you're enduring right now, what their purpose are. Why you have to endure them. Why do you have to do that? I don't know about you, but I've done some dumb stuff. Some of us have been down roads and we're wondering, man. But when you really begin to unwrap all your life, man, it's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful thing. And the very thing that you've been asking God for, I promise you, he already has. It might just be in the corner of the garage, disguised as something else, or in a box that looks like it's something you don't want. Maybe the answer comes with in a person that you don't really like very much. Come on. Maybe it's disguised in a job that doesn't make any sense, and yet you feel like you need to take it anyway. Be careful not to reject the very promise you've been asking for just because it doesn't look like what you thought. He's going to come shatter your norm. Stand to your feet. There's a great presence here today. I know some of you want to go watch a Steeler game and get your holiday week started. But if you will indulge me for just a few minutes, this is a wide-ranging altar call that I want to give you a chance so that we can pray with all of you, send you with blessing, that I don't care if you don't have money to buy gifts or to receive a gift, that you'll receive from the Heavenly Father this morning the best of what he has, and that you'll believe God for supernatural things, and that you'll let him come and shatter your norm. And that you'll open your eyes for those unusual gifts. Like that little boy passed up at a young age. If he just received the gift that his father had given him, how much different his life might have been. He would have had a relationship with his father. He would have got the car that he wanted, and yet he would have got the word of God planted into his life. How much different his life could have turned out. You can miss a moment,
or you can seize a moment. And this is one of those moments that if you miss, you cannot seize. But if you'll seize it, you'll never miss it. It's one of those moments. So to every person who just says, God, come shatter my norm. Every person that says, God, I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm not going to have fear of provision, fear of what people might think of me, all those things. God, to every person that knows that God has been gifting you and you haven't felt gifted at all, we're going to unwrap the gifts that God has given us and sent our way to receive them in their fullness, because some of you have not been able to benefit from the maximum potential of the people that God sent into your life because you haven't fully unwrapped them. You haven't fully tried to understand them and figure them out yet. Yet they were sent to bless you. If that's you, let's pray. Come quickly. We're going to pray together in this place and believe God for the supernatural things in this place. Father, have your way in this room right now. Hallelujah. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is us. This is us, Lord. This is us, Lord. We will not fear. We will not fear. We will not fear. We will not be afraid of the opinions of people. We will not be afraid of whether you will provide. We're not going to be afraid whether you will guide. But God, we stand here in your presence knowing and trusting and believing in who you are. And God, we stand in the front of this church knowing and believing that, Lord, the year ahead is the year of the open door. That, God, there are doors that you have set up before us that are concrete, that are immovable, that are unshakable. That, God, they're firm and they're anchored and they're planted. And so, God, I thank you that there are doors that will be opened before every person that has responded this morning that no man can shut. And that, Lord, you will shut doors that no man can open. And that, Father, I pray over the people in the front of this room right now that, Father, you will establish in them a confidence and a passion like never before. That, God, they may not understand everything, but certainly, God, they're going to keep pressing and keep believing with certainty, with certainty. Without fear of provision, without fear of what people are going to think, without fear of any of the things that even Joseph endured, God, but we're going to press on. We're going to press on and believe in. So, Father, I pray these things over their life right now. Father, I pray that you would shatter the norm in their life. Shatter every normal area that, God, they're not going to live their life and believe that debt is normal. They're not going to live their life and believe that poverty is normal. They're not going to live their life and believe that this pain is normal. But shatter the normal in their life, I pray. Then your word declares that it's by your stripes we were healed. Heal them. Lord, when your word says above all that you desire that they prosper and be in good health, let that word begin to manifest even now. Prosper and be in good health. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Let every area that they've settled and they've accepted to be normal and unusual, God, I thank you that you just begin to shatter it. That, Lord, you're going to introduce new people and new ideas into their life. In fact, Father, I just pray even now. I hear the Lord saying for me to pray over your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That it is with the mind that you serve the Lord. I rebuke every foul thought, every negative thought, every whisper of the enemy right now over your mind and your body. There have been things that you've thought about. There have been things that you've dreamt about. There have been things that you've considered. There are ideas. They began in your mind and it's been a passing thought. Some of you have just passed it off as a passing thought, but no, it's a plan, and it's a plan with a purpose. And if you'll receive it in its fullness, if you'll receive it in its fullness, that is the very open door that you need. So, Father, expand their ideas. Expand, God, every thought that you have given them. Lord, let them receive it even now. Detailed plans
detailed plans in the name of Jesus. Detailed plans to get out of debt. Detailed plans to increase your abundance. I mean, I'm heavenly influence. Favor when they go to the car lot. A divine appointment. A divine appointment. With a bank that should never give them favor, but favor. Supernatural healing when they go to the doctor to get results and to find out what's going on, to find out why this is happening. Supernatural results where they say, I don't see nothing. I don't see any reason for that pain. Because your word promises that it's by your stripes that we were healed. So Father, shatter our norm. And let this year ahead be a year of favor, harvest, and supernatural open doors, one after the other. Close every door that man has opened, and open every door that you desire for us to walk through. God will give you the glory for it. Now, Lord, I seal this prayer. My God, do what only you can in this moment. Whew. Breath of God, breathe and fill and satisfy. Quench every thirst. Satisfy every hunger. My God. And I bless you for it. I bless you for it. May these people experience the wondrous, glorious beauty this Christmas like never before. Not in gifts, not in spending, not in getting, but I say in their heart, joy like never before. Joy like never before. Joy like never before. Joy. 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 Joy like never before. That instead of worrying, you're going to laugh. Instead of fretting and losing sleep, you're going to find joy, because you know, just like the Christmas story, you'll have joy in retrospect. That when you come out on the other side, you'll find joy like the children of Israel after they crossed over. A few weeks ago, we said they danced on the dead bodies. They didn't have joy when they were running, but when they crossed to the other side, they had joy. Hallelujah. Because you know that you'll have joy in retrospect. God, I thank you. And Lord, I praise you for your word. I praise you for your faithfulness in this place and to your people. And we seal it all and we say, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. My God, joy in retrospect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.